You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Keith Martin. Today, we will be speaking with Lawrence Kasiba, President and CEO for the Office of Law Enforcement Technology Commercialization, or OLETC. Each year, OLETC, the National Institute of Justice, and the National Corrections and Law Enforcement Training and Technology Center host a mock prison riot at the former West Virginia Penitentiary in Moundsville. The event gives corrections practitioners from across the globe the opportunity to use and evaluate emerging technologies in riot training scenarios. Today, Mr. Kasiba will be giving us some insight on the mock riot and what participants can expect. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Mr. Kasiba.
Well, thank you, Keith. I'm glad to be here.
Good. Can you first discuss the mission of the mock riot?
About 5 years ago, some folks were actually literally sitting around a table talking and trying to find a better way of getting technology into the hands of the practitioners, in this case, the corrections officers. They came up with an idea that instead of going to what you would call your traditional conference, that maybe there was a way that we could actually take the technology, find this brand new emerging one-of-a-kind opportunity, and place it in the hands of a correction officer in a very real near scenario as best we could determine and provide for them. And so the mission actually is to allow the corrections officers, if you will, to get hands-on experience with brand new emerging technology, and also to give the technologist, the inventor, the developer, some honest feedback on how the technology works in those scenarios.
Mm-hmm. How has the event grown since its first year in number of participants and technologists?
Well, we've been very, very pleased with what has happened over the years. It started back in 1997. We had basically one day. We had four different technologies from around the local area come in. We had about 70 correctional officers, if you will, and sheriff's officers throughout the two states that were here. Last year, we were up to five different days. We went up to over 1,300 individuals, and the technology showcased were up to over 70. This year, we're going to set another record for both attendance and states and number of technologies. In fact, we're at capacity. We have almost 100 technologists coming to this event this year. So just been a phenomenal growth, and I think it shows you the value of an opportunity like this for the correction officer.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you think draws people to this event each year, that it is kind of a one-of-a-kind event, if you will?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know of any other place where you can go ahead and come in and see and look at so many technologies in various areas, and then take the opportunity to have a scenario, if you will, maybe yard disturbance, a cafeteria disturbance, a cell extraction, and go in and look at these different pieces of technology and try something out in that scenario. And not only that, but the camaraderie, the sharing, if you will, of tactics between teams, between the different states. Mississippi may do it this way, Alabama may do it this way, Ohio a certain way. And the states have different laws that it maybe adjust how their tactics and procedures may occur. Mm-hmm. So I think that not only just the fact of getting your hands on the technology, but that camaraderie, that looking at different tactics from other teams, that learning experience with each other is as much a value as anything.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the learning experience. When I've been to the mock riot, you can see when there is a scenario that there are other teams watching and kind of, like you said, picking up tactics. Do we see a lot of that with other teams watching, like you said, a team from Ohio watching a team from West Virginia and vice versa?
Absolutely. As you said, you were there last year. We televise all four scenarios. We have four scenarios going simultaneously throughout the facility, and having that facility, an actual old penitentiary available, just adds to the realism of it. So what we're able to do is to televise all four scenarios simultaneously throughout the prison. And that's why you get these little pockets of teams that may be not involved with something. Entrepreneurs, other sheriff's officers, law enforcement, correction professionals are there to observe. And you actually sit there and watch them getting together, talking about what this team is doing and how they're approaching this scenario, and lessons learned from them.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned having Moundsville as a training center. It's a big old prison and has a lot of different nooks and crannies and yards to it. What kind of a benefit is it having those different environments at that one prison?
Well, you talk about a gem to have in your backyard. Nice old facility. A few years ago when it was closed down from West Virginia, a lot of people normally look at that as a noose around their neck. How are we going to do? What are we going to do with this facility? In this case, our local congressman, quite frankly, came in with a little bit of a vision on to turn that into a year-round facility. So being able to take it and use the technology in a cafeteria, there's a chapel on board that we've outfitted with instrumentation and cameras. It's called Team Dimensional Training that we've brought in from the Navy, has just been a gold mine. We can actually do downstairs. We have an area that's down in the basement, and as we say, there's no ambient light down there, so when we start using night vision equipment and infrared sensors and stuff like that, it's just an ideal environment to go find people hiding in various places. But it has all the things that you need in a facility. And the other part of it is teams can go in there and use their tactics. They don't have to disturb the inmate population. The second thing is we can use the flashbangs. We can do the various door cuttings, et cetera, and we don't have to worry about damaging the facility because when they leave, we just put it back together and we're ready for next year.
That's great. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Larry Kasiba, President and CEO of the Office of Law Enforcement Technology Commercialization, or OLETC, about this year's mock prison riot. Now, at the riot, teams get to test technologies firsthand during scenarios. How big of a benefit is that to these teams?
Well, I think it helps them out a lot. It actually helps the entrepreneurs, as I mentioned earlier, because a couple of the technologies will go out and maybe a switch is just in the wrong place, which means you have to let go of a device, and that is the wrong time to have to let go of the device that you're using. The other thing that allows teams to do is, say, using this piece of technology, they then can adjust their tactics or their procedures or their processes in which their way they're handling an issue or disturbance within a facility. And that adds to both the officer's protection as well as the inmate's protection. So I think that getting the opportunity to almost, I hate to use a cliche of try before you buy, teams actually get the opportunity to come in and use some of this stuff, see firsthand, and then go back home, do some evaluation, and we can help them out even beyond that because the mission of OLETC goes just beyond the riot. It goes into the full realm of what products and technologies are out there for the professionals.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that that's a big draw for vendors, getting a chance to put their product, whether it's new or whether it's been around for years, in the hands of an actual team and to get that direct feedback?
Very much so. They get a little antsy, though.
How so?
Well, it may be the one-of-a-kind product. It may
yeah.
be a bench model.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the only engineering model. But as all of us know, that if once it gets out in the field, if it can be broke, there's a correctional officer or a law enforcement officer will break it for you. So it's a great testing facility, if you will, a
mm-hmm.
great operational evaluation that these entrepreneurs can bring a technology in. And actually, some of the best service we can provide some of our entrepreneurs, quite frankly, is it doesn't work. The technology doesn't have merit. The team may not even like it. It just is too cumbersome. It just doesn't work in the scenarios that they're looking for. And that type of feedback is just so valuable to the entrepreneurs, so we're not wasting his time, we're not wasting his resources, and we're not taking up resources from the correctional facilities and officers.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about not disturbing any inmates and the unique aspect of Moundsville. What about the community in Moundsville? How have they responded to this kind of four-day event? Usually the facility sits kind of quiet, but when the mock riot's in town, you definitely hear it.
Yeah, we wake up the neighborhood just a little bit as we go through it. But the Moundsville community, you couldn't ask for a better community. These people are very supportive, from the mayor to the Moundsville Economic Development Council to just the citizens that are around there that, quite frankly, put up with all the traffic and the noise and the vendors. But they see a great economic boom to the community, just to the northern panhandle. This event brings in about $2 million in economic development. So it's quite an economic stimulus for the community.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is just out of the success of the riot itself, we have now spun off, if you will, what's known as the National Corrections and Law Enforcement Technology and Training Center. Steve Morrison is their director down there. Steve and I work closely. And what we're trying to do is turn that facility into a year-round facility, not just for the 3 or 4 days that the mock riot is taking place. There will always be a mock prison riot, don't
mm-hmm.
get me wrong. We
right.
always want to just have everybody get together. But now if you want to do a 2 or 3 day hostage scenario, if you want to come in and do some quiet tactic works, or if you're from agencies, Secret Service, some of the folks for the Olympics and stuff, and you wish to train outside of the site of some people, it's an excellent facility for that type of stuff.
Great. Where does the riot find its inmates?
Well, we used to take our students. We were on Wheeling Jesuit University. We used to borrow the students and staff. The National Institute of Justice staff would come down, and they would play inmate and hostage and all that type of stuff. And to date, we've returned them all back to the university, and their jobs in one piece. So we're really thankful of that. But generally, we're finding that another great aspect is we use the other teams. We use the team members that are in. And they get to see it from both perspectives. They get to see not only what it's like to come into a situation as a correctional officer in a cell extraction or yard disturbance, but they also get to see it from kind of a hands-on viewpoint, if I'm an inmate, what it looks like. And they can take that type of feedback and once again go back, maybe change their procedures, their tactics, and they're pretty good actors, especially the folks from Ohio DRC. Those guys are pretty good actors for us out there, so we're going to have to give them some Academy Awards down the road.
Besides the camaraderie you talked about and also getting a chance to test new products, what else do you hope that these teams take back to their individual states when they return after the mock riot's all over?
Well, I think that, like this year, we're going to put in a new scenario. Several of the states have new laws that they're putting into place, new statutes of compliance. For example, in Ohio, they are now going to be able to allow the raising of children up until, I believe it's 12 or 18 months of age. That brings in a whole new concept for teams to go look at. How are you going to deal with that? You can't go with your normal tactics of flashbang or some of the other distraction devices or maybe some other tactics that you use. So now, as some of these other states and their legislatures may be contemplating new changes in their laws and the way things are handled within their correctional facilities, this gives other teams a jump on that. They can come in and they can see maybe how an Ohio or a New York City has already involved with this and a year later is complying with their state laws. And it gives them an idea, and if you will, like I said, an advantage as they go back home in ways that they may have to comply with some of the future requirements that their states may levy on them.
Fantastic. That concludes today's live talk. Thank you to Larry Kasiba of OLETSI for joining us today and discussing the mock prison riot. For more information on the event, visit OLETSI's website at www.oletc.org and stay tuned to the Corrections Connection during the week of May 13th for complete coverage of this year's mock riot. Mr. Kasiba, thank you.
You're welcome, Matt. Glad to be here, Keith.
For CCNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Thank you very much.